All right, Mike, it is time for our golf and fitness expert, Miss Caitlin Sharpless.
She's going to pump us up.
How are you doing, Caitlin?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, first of all, I know you were in school down here in the Carolinas at Methodist. How did you end up getting into the fitness side of things?
Well, it's kind of a funny story, actually. I played golf at Methodist, grew up playing since I was 13, loved it, fell in love, and I hit ball after ball, thought all I needed to do was be strong between the ears and, you know, make putts, make drives, make fairways, and I literally drove my body into the ground. I didn't expect to have such a weird injury, but I had a very tough time making a transition from high school golf to college golf, just because it was a whole new experience, and my back started to really bother me, and I was, 18 years old? I was like, why am I having this pain? It's just because I beat my body into the ground. I didn't take care of it. Wasn't really as healthy as I should be as an athlete, and so I was introduced into my TPI, and I went through one of their programs. One of my friends got me into it, and I started to lift for the first time ever. And I was thinking about this today. Thinking back to when I was in high school, I actually had my first personal training session, and I actually fired my trainer because he made me do squats. I was like, why do I need to do squats? This is not any. This doesn't have anything to do with golf. And now I look back, and now I'm a golf strength coach, and it's kind of funny how that all happened. But I got into my TPIs in college and never looked back because I started to feel better. I was healthier, and it took off from there.
So now you're that person telling others to do activities that you didn't want to do.
Exactly. And it's so weird for me to say that, but exactly.
All right, so at some point, we're going to actually get cold weather, and it's going to turn to winter, you know, in the whole eastern seaboard. So as we look towards months getting colder and days getting colder, how do we stay in golf shape? What are some things that our listeners can do during the winter, you know, if it's snowing outside or just miserable weather, to keep themselves golf ready so that when it does get warm on a day or two, which does happen down here in the Carolinas usually around New Year's, when can they, you know, and they want to pop out and play a round of golf, how can they be ready? What can they do?
Right. That's a really good question. So, I mean, for the golfers that are listening, the one thing I can really say is if you take a look at any PGA or LPGA player, even the mini tour guys, every single one of them has a coach. Like, yes, they're trying to make putts. Yes, they're trying to, like I said, hit fairways, be mentally strong and physically strong. But the most important thing is they have that physical strength on their radar as far as, you know, their team around them goes. So, so yes, strength and conditioning during the off season is crucial because our goal is to build up the appropriate muscle and the muscles that we need in order to play the sport that we love and to avoid injury. And how we do that is through off season training. Cause then when you hit your, you know, those, I mean, I know the North Carolina months are a little different, but for us up here in New England, usually around March, April, we start really getting into a different type of phase of training. So we go from, you know, the hypertrophy phase, we're trying to gain as much muscle as possible, and then we start to shift in those upcoming months, really gearing towards more sport-specific things for our golf swing. So right now, what you could be doing is I love these three movements. You can do them at home. You could do them with a can of soup. You can do them with the kitchen counter, like whatever you have laying around at home. If you do not have a home gym, you don't need it. The three things that I would absolutely think would be great for people to do are the first one is squats. And why? You know, everyone knows what a squat looks like. I'm sure most of you have done it, but the thing with this movement is it's involved every single joint in our body is moving, and we need those joints to move as they're designed to so we can get into certain positions in our golf swing. So squatting first, I would recommend finding a surface that's obviously no start with your shoes or totally barefoot so you're not flipping around. But stand up, you can just stand up nice and tall, find a chair, because everyone sat down on a chair before, like everyone has. I hope so. So what you'll do is you find a chair, put it behind you, and so when you go to descend into that sit position on the chair, you do it very controlled, so slow. Because if you think about it, most of us, we get up to a chair and we just plop, right? Like
right.
There's no mental thought process, like I have to sit down very controlled. No, you want to sit down as if that chair didn't have all the screws tightened up, and you have to sit very carefully and then pop right back up. But as you do that, you want to make sure your chest is up, so there's writing on your shirt. If there's writing on your shirt, you want to be able to see that writing in a mirror so you're not caving, you know, forward as you sit. So you're going to press your knees out, push through your heels, get back on the chair, and then push right back up through your heels. And that's pretty, you know, basic body weight squat, but it'll kind of, for those out there that have done a squat before, it'll really help just kind of own in on that movement again. So
and pushing Caitlin through your heels, not through the balls of your feet or up on your toes, is important. Why?
Totally. So if you don't have any loading, let's say you don't have a bar or kettlebell or dumbbell, you know, pushing through the balls of your feet, there's a lot of controversy out there in this issue, but for the most part, if you're pushing through the balls of your feet, you have more balance, you're stacking your joints the way they're designed to do. But if you're pushing through the balls of your feet, it starts to mess with, like, most people will say, oh, that really bothers my knee. Like, it puts a lot of stress in your patella tendon. And that's something that if you don't have that flexibility or the mobility, and you're starting to mess with, you know, the balls of your feet, that's not the most optimal way to squat. It really puts a lot of stress on that tendon, and we don't want to do that if we don't have to. So driving your knees out as you sit down on your chair, nice and controlled. You know, your feet can be slightly flared out. This is an assessment, so this is not an assessment. So you can, you know, have your feet flared out to relieve some of that pressure on your ankle joint there. But, you know, knees out, butt back, really focusing on a good hinging motion. So if you were to take a bow, right, you would take a bow, you stick your butt out, your legs would be soft. They wouldn't be totally locked out. They'd just be soft. You're taking a bow, sticking your butt out, and you really feel that stretch in your hamstrings. That's the same type of movement we want to focus on when you would be sitting down in that chair. So really sticking your butt out, feeling it in your hamstrings, and pushing through the balls, not pushing through the balls of your feet, pushing through your heels.
Right, and keep maintaining that nice flat back with your chest out and your chin up will help you maintain that position as well. If you're not familiar with it, picking a spot high on the wall to look at. Am I correct?
Right. And so when that movement gets easy, and if you know, let's say you have a dumbbell sitting around, or a gallon of water, if you can hold that gallon close to your chest so your arms are kind of flared out. If those at home could picture this, and I can, you know, put up some YouTube videos so they can see a little bit better. But if you hold something, giving yourself a little bit of resistance, that will also, you know, turn on your core and your stabilizers a little bit more so you can be able to hold up that posture and get a little bit of resistance in that movement as well. And, you know, this is all very important for being able to get over the golf ball, draw on your belly button, you know, screw your feet into the ground and pop the ball out there as far as you want. Like, it's very important for, you know, working on those core stabilizers in the posterior chain or the whole backside of your body so we can get in that golf posture and stay there so we're not popping up and losing power, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the golf swing itself is a fairly unnatural movement, which is why golf is so difficult, and having a nice, strong, settled, quiet base is important. What are we able to do for our upper bodies in the winter? If we're doing chair squats and we're maintaining our strength and growing our strength in our core that way, what can we do for our upper bodies?
Yeah, so thinking for upper body in a home setting, I want it to be very applicable to everyone. Say you don't have a gym, you don't have any ways of doing any pulling motion, I would definitely say a push-up is a great start. And I like this exercise because everyone's going to be at different levels with this movement. It's challenging. It's very challenging. You're working on, you know, scapular stability that we need to get to putting in our swing when we rotate and we're starting the downswing. It's great for your core. It's very, very powerful movement. So for someone that maybe I would call like a phase one, we've never done a push-up before, or if we have done it, but the way I like to coach it may be a little different. So how I would start someone out is have them find a counter in their house or something sturdy they can push against. I would have them lean up against the counter so their hands are directly under their shoulders. And then I'd have them tuck their toes on the ground. So act like you're going to squish a bug with the balls of your feet and your toes. Then from there, I'd have them slowly lower their body down to the counter. Now, this is the most important part about this. You want to think you're squeezing the living daylights out of your glutes and your core. So you're like a falling plank almost. And the second most important thing I do when I coach up this movement is I like to see people have their elbows kind of flared out from their body, and not think about almost like you're making a T with your body and your elbows. I do not want a T. I want to see those elbows kind of tucked in a little tighter to your rib cage when you're on the descent of that movement. I hope that makes sense. But why I like that movement from your elbows closer to your rib cage versus kind of out. Because when you think about, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, when you think about any type of, let's say you're going to push your car because it's died. I hope this never happens. But let's say you have to, like, push your car down the street or something. You would never push with your arms flared out, like, or right. Kind of out, like, totally horizontal
right.
to the ground. You would always push closer to your body because your body recognizes that as a very powerful position. And that's very, we find that in our daily lives a lot. Like we need to exert power. We're going to make our body, like our limbs come closest to our body as possible. That's where we can generate a lot of force. You think about the golf swing, when we're talking about leverage, if you were to take, you know, bring your club back into the backswing, you think, okay, if my elbow, if you're a right-handed player and I take the club back to the top of the golf swing and my right elbow is pointed up towards the ceiling, that would be considered a power leak almost, right? You want to have that right elbow kind of tucked in nice and tight so you can create that leverage on the way down.
Right.
So it's a very important movement. And if, you know, we lived in an ideal world and everyone had a TRX attachment in their household, I would say the more pulling the better in someone's program, especially with golfers, because we live in kind of a crunched turtle-like position, like we're driving, sloppy, our posture is terrible, or checking out what's on, you know, the TV and not so much paying attention to posture. And, you know, fancy word, thoracic mobility. Like if we lack that thoracic mobility, well, that's where we get our rotation from. So, you know, if we can help improve that mobility, we can get more rotation. We create more upper body, lower body separation or dissociation. And that's where we can really generate some power.
All right. Well, Caitlin, I love all that stuff. I love, you know, the squats. I love the you know, all of the good core information. And we're kind of out of time for the segment. So we want to be able to catch up with you again at some point, but we appreciate you hopping on with us tonight.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us.